And Philippe is not going to sit down. He's coming up to speak to us. He is our second morning speaker before lunch. Philippe Amorim is from a Brazilian church in Orlando, Florida. It's called Ciara Ministries. Ciara means harvest. His father, Fernando, is here. Fernando, would you please stand so we can honor you, sir? Yes. And also, Philippe brought a whole gaggle of Brazilians this weekend. Would all you guys stand up that came with Philippe? Yeah, let's give them a hand. We're really proud of you, and Philippe is going to talk to us about the disciplines of a warrior. Eddie talked to us about the process. There's basically some workouts that we have to do. Philippe's going to talk about that, and this is going to lead us right into our small group time this morning. So let's give Philippe a big hand.
All right. Am I on? I don't know how to do this thing with two hands. I'm not used to this. So if I start going all over the place, I'm sorry. Can we just pray real quick? Father, we thank you for this time. May we just be able to continue in your presence, to continue learning, Father. And may we just be able to continue knowing how it is that we are to live as radical warriors for the kingdom, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I don't know how I'm going to do this in 30 minutes. I don't know. I have eternity inside of me, and I don't know how to fit eternity into 30 minutes, but I will try my best. I don't know if you guys have ever heard or if you guys have ever been to one of Lee's conferences or something like that. He has a message that he calls the Five Eyes of Discipleship. And I created one, you know, called Three Eyes of a Warrior. So we're going to talk about that today. If you'd open up your Bible with me in Matthew 22. We're going to go to verse 36 or turn on your Bible. I hope your Bible doesn't run out of batteries. I'm against using the Bible with technology, but you know, my Bible will never run out of batteries. So Matthew 22 verse 36, and it says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I see here three things that we need to focus on. One of them is to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength and everything that we have inside of us. The other one is to love others, but loving others comes with a condition. It's loving others as you love yourself. And we need to understand how to love ourselves so that then we could love others after that. So the first eye of the three eyes of a warrior is intimacy. You must love God. And you must know who He is. You must spend time with Him. You must get to know Him on a deeper level. It is not just coming to God and saying, you know, coming up here and talking for 30 minutes, an hour on a Sunday, and then going home and forgetting about Him until Saturday night when you remember that you have to come back and minister again for another hour about this guy. It is not just that. It is a constant 24/7 type of deal. It's a type of relationship that you have to spend time with Him. And we see that He is a personal God. Our God is a personal God. Pastor Matt last night, he read out of Philippians 2:7, and I want to go over that again. If we could just throw that up, please. Almost. Philippians 2:7, and it says, "But made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." And I see here that God Himself decided to come down to earth and make Himself a human to look at us straight in the eye. To look at us dead in the eye. Not from up here where He is above us, but instead to come down and look at us. It's not recording. Straight in the eye. And this is what He does. He leaves everything behind. He leaves all of His glory. Not really the glory. He left His deity, you know, His powers as God, so he wasn't everywhere because he was just in one place. You know, he didn't know everything because the Bible says that he grew in knowledge and stature. And he wasn't the all-powerful because it says the Holy Spirit would come upon him, right? So, but he comes down to be with us, to get personal, to be able to look at us in the eye, to be able to talk to us, to touch us, to feel our pain, you know, to be able to hug us and feel our heart, not just know the things that we're going through, but to feel them as well. And we see that he did that with his disciples. He walked with them. He felt their pain. He confronted them. He looked them dead in the eye and said, "You're wrong." He looked them dead in the eye and said, "Get away from me, devil." And he did all of these things. He got personal because he's a personal God. But a relationship is a two-way street. He has come down to us and he has shown us how to be like him, but now we have to respond. We have to get back to him on what he has done for us. Everything is a response. We talked about how, you know, Pastor Eddie said that it's a process. Everything is a process. Well, first he came down to talk to us, and now we have to get back and talk to him. We have to go back to a place of intimacy with him. We have to lock ourselves in our closets and talk to him. We have to, when we're driving, know that he is there. We have to know that he is with us. And I've learned one thing in this time that I've been walking with God. We talk so much about faith, and then one of the biggest struggles that we have is, but I don't see God. I can't feel God anymore. Anybody ever had that issue? I can't feel God anymore, man. I don't know what's going on. I can't feel him. I just don't get those goosebumps anymore. And I raise my hands and I jump three times and I do everything that they say that the worship leader tells me to do. I go to the right and I go to the left and I go through all the motions and I still can't get the goosebumps. But let me tell you something. Faith does not see. Faith does not hear. Faith knows. And we have to know that he is there with us. We have to know why. The Bible says it. I don't know how many million times. I am with you. Be strong and courageous. Haven't I commanded you? I am with you. What are you doing? You don't have to feel. You just have to know that I am with you. Know that I am there. Know that I am your God. Be still and know that I am God. And when it says no, when we read in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus talks about in Matthew 7 and he says, "I do not know you," it is talking about an intimate knowledge. If you go in the Greek, this word talks about a relationship as a man would have with a woman. It's intimacy. It's getting to know in a secret place, a place where other people do not go. It's a place of getting to know every single detail. Of when the person calls, it could be from the weirdest number, you look and you don't know the number and you pick up and they're like, "Hey." And it's like, "Oh, hey, I know you, I know this voice. I know who you are." And as warriors, we have to know God in a way. We have to know our commandment, or our commander. We have to know the general who gives us our orders. But let me tell you something, because it goes beyond that. He is not just the general. He is not just the God Almighty. He is not just the King of Kings. He is your Father. And you have to know him in that way. The daughters of President Obama do not walk up to him. You know, they want to talk to their father at home. They're not going to walk up and go on a list and have to go through security check and do all this stuff. And have to say, "Mr. President, I am so honored to be here in your presence. And it is just so humbling to know that I have come into the White." No, they're like, "Daddy, hey, look, I need that doll. I want that car. I, you know, you promised me that you would give me this. Daddy, what's going on? Daddy, I miss hanging out with you. Let's go out to get some lunch. Let's go have one of the guys cook us a nice meal." Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm still waiting for you to cook me a meal. Yeah. "Daddy, have somebody cook me a meal." So, it's getting to an intimate place with God. And I'm talking about doing crazy things. The supernatural is not normal. But we have to live in a time with God. We have to live in an intimacy with God to a point where the supernatural becomes natural in our lives. The supernatural has to become normal in our lives. It has to be every day. And I could tell you some crazy stories. You might think I'm nuts, and that's okay. I don't know if you guys believe in praying in tongues and all that stuff, but I sure do. And I'm sitting in the car. I'm like, I take all the stuff out of the passenger seat, and like, Holy Spirit, come sit here. We got to talk. Put my seatbelt on. Make sure I put the seatbelt on the Holy Spirit. I want to make sure that He's okay, that He's safe. I'm not kidding. I have pictures to prove it. Put the seatbelt on Him. And we talk. We're driving. I'm like, you know, this and that. And I tell Him about my life. And that's the intimate place that He wants us to get to. And I high-five Him. I'm talking there. I'm like, Daddy, that was good, man. That was cool. Come on. Give me five. You know, and why? Because He's my Daddy. Not because He is the God Almighty. Not because He's just the King of Kings. And I know He's all that. But above all, He is my Daddy. Jesus never said, hey, you're going to go to heaven, or hey, I'm going to go to heaven. Hey, I'm going to go walk in the gold streets. No, He says, I am going back to the Father, not the King of Kings, not just the Lord of Lords, not just the God Almighty with His long, awesome white beard waiting to strike me with lightning. No, He says, I am going back to the Father. You have to know the Father. And we have to know Him as that. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of getting to know Him. He knows your pains. He knows your struggles. But He doesn't want to just sit there and see you suffering. He wants to hear it from you. He wants to know that you are willing to just run to Him and be like, Daddy! And just jump in His lap and talk to Him and tell Him about your day and tell Him about what's going on in your life and tell Him about what's going on with you. It's about getting excited and talking to God. You know when you used to go to school and something cool would happen and you couldn't wait to get home and tell your dad about it? And you'd get home and I know a majority of you guys have children here and they run to you and like, Daddy, Daddy, look what we made today. And they show you a drawing and they show you something. And that's what God wants from us. From us to be able to get home from work and get there and be like, Daddy, Daddy, look what I did today. And get to talk to Him every single time. And our God is a personal God. He's a relational God. He wants to get involved with you. The Bible says in Isaiah 6:3 that the earth would be filled with that the earth is filled with the glory of God. But in I always say this wrong. Habakkuk, is that right? Or Habakkuk? Habakkuk. It's different in Portuguese. Anyways, 2:14 it talks about how the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Let me tell you something. The glory of God is inside of you. And we have to get to know Him so that we could be able to pass on the glory of God to others. So that the earth would not just be filled with the glory of God, but also with the knowledge of the glory of God. God likes to hide precious things. And the glory of God, the most precious thing, is hidden inside of you. Do you find diamonds just laying on the ground? Anybody just go outside and kick a bar of gold in the grass? No, these things are hidden. You have to go and seek for them. And the glory of God is hidden inside of us, and we too have to go and seek and allow Him to mine it out from us. It's in there. It's already hidden in there. We just have to let Him mine it out. So we have to have intimacy with God. We must walk with Him. So the first thing is love God above all other things. Intimacy. The second thing we said is a conditional statement. Love others as you love yourself. So for you to love others, you first must love yourself. And for you to love yourself, you must know who you are. You must know your identity. The second eye of a warrior is he knows his identity. And like I said, you are a son of the King. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. One of the biggest issues that we have in the church today is that we don't know who we are. We don't know. We don't know our identity. The Bible says that we are a holy nation of a royal priesthood. And I don't know what you believe, but if my Bible says it, it's true. That's what I have in my heart. You know? And it tells me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That I am made in His likeness and in His image. We have to know our identity. And I can prove it to you. Anybody know of a couple called Adam and Eve? Yeah? Yeah? They had an identity problem. They had an identity issue. Because it says that the serpent came up to Eve and starts telling her, hey, if you eat of the fruit, you would become like God. But what she had failed to know was that God had said that you are made in my likeness and in my image. They were already there, but they did not know their identity. Do not let the devil steal who you are or lie to you about who you are. Know who you are. And your identity is in Christ. I've learned that when we spend time with Him, it's not about what you do. He doesn't care about what you do. Like we mentioned in Matthew 7, He's going to say, oh, you're going to walk up to Him and be like, but I did so many things. I have a list of miracles. I've healed all of the body parts that you created. I've done so many things. And He's going to be like, oh, I don't know who you are. It is not about what you do. It's about who you are. And when you know who you are, you're going to figure out what you have to do. So if you're stuck, if you're at a standstill in your life, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, let me tell you, go figure out who you are. Because when you know who you are, you're going to know what to do. Your identity is going to call out what you have to do. He doesn't care about what you're doing, He cares about who you are. He didn't come to die on the cross for things, He came to die for people. So you have to know who you are. Let's go back to Philippians 2:7. And it says, He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. We, as humans, are made in the likeness and image of God. But Jesus had to come down, make Himself in the likeness of humans to remind us of the fact that we are made in the likeness of God. You're beloved. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. But that identity was stolen from us, so Jesus comes down and makes Himself in the likeness of human. He lowers Himself, makes Himself like us, just to be able to show us that we are made like Him. That just messed me up. Know who you are. Know who you are in Christ. Know what is inside of you. Know what He has put in your heart. And let Him mine it out. Let Him bring it out of you. Don't let the lies of the devil tell you who you are. Live in intimacy with God. Live in the identity that God has given you. And the third thing is to love others as you love yourself. When you have an identity, you develop an interdependency. It's a big word. I had to look it up to find the third eye. But I found it. The Holy Spirit whispered it in my ear. But it's interdependency. You become dependent on others, and others become dependent on you. And that's discipleship. You depend fully on God. And I know that we tend to get hurt when we depend only on people, but we must know that we need people as well. It's important for us to understand that we need people. We cannot do the real gospel without people. Otherwise, Jesus' coming to earth would have been completely useless. If He did not have people, He would not be able to show us the gospel. And it's the same with us. We cannot live the gospel if we don't have people. As annoying as they can be, as, you know, dumb as they can be, we need people. And like I said, who you are determines what you do. Being with people is a hard thing. Letting someone, as we just heard, letting someone inside your life is a hard thing. We have trust issues. People have hurt us. People have come and stabbed us in the back. People have come and told us things that ruined our life, and they don't even know it. People hurt us, but we have to be able to let them in. There are people out there who do not want to hurt you. There are people out there who are here to help you, who are here to bring you out and to make sure that you can grow. Allow them in, but know who they are. You see, there's a man in the Bible, we probably don't hear about him too much. His name is Paul, and he discipled this guy called Timothy. And the Bible says in Acts 16, verses 1 through 3, that Paul circumcised Timothy. And let me tell you something. Timothy was not 8 days old when he was circumcised. He was a man. He was a full-grown man. And he allowed this man to touch his intimacy and circumcise him, but not to hurt him, but to help him, to make him grow, to push him further. We have to allow people to come into our intimacy so that they could take us further in our walk with God. But like I said, be careful as to who they are. Know who they are. In Genesis 34, verses 15 through 17, we hear about it's Jacob's sons, when Dinah had been just raped, and it says that they walk up to the men and say, "Hey, look, if you guys are willing to all be circumcised, we will take you in as family." And then they go and they circumcise these fully grown men, only to later kill them. And there are people who want to touch your intimacy to kill you. Be careful with that. But know that there are men out there who are faithful, who are like Paul, who are like the men and the examples that we have, like Lee, like James, and so many other fathers here that are here not to hurt you, that are here not to kill you, but instead they are here to push you further, to take you into places that they would have never been able to go on their own. They want to take you there. Amen. So as a warrior, you must spend time with God. You must have intimacy with Him. You must be an intimate person with God. And I am challenging you today to do great, crazy things with Him. The supernatural is not normal. The supernatural is not what you are used to. If you believe in tongues, walk around like crazy. I work out with this guy right here. He's my personal trainer. And we sit there in the gym and we're doing some sets and we get on the bench and we're getting all this stuff and we're like, "All right, let's go." And then we can't take it. Wow, this is heavy. And we can't take it anymore. I'm going to step down a little bit because I haven't gotten there yet. So we get there and we're like, "Come on, come on." And we're yelling in the gym and then we don't know what to do and we're getting weak and we're like, "Ah, Holy Spirit." And we start going crazy. Why? Because I am not of this world. I am not from this place. And I have a different culture inside of me. I know who I am. I know where I come from. You don't need a pulpit when you have an altar in your heart. You do not need this place when you have built an altar in your heart. So I walk around and I don't need a pulpit to preach. I preach with my life. I walk around doing whatever I want in the Holy Spirit because the Spirit, the wind blows wherever it pleases. He loves to get me in the bathroom when I am with the janitors and he's sitting there cleaning and I'm washing my hands and he's like, "Tell him I love him." I'm like, "That's crazy. He's just cleaning the bathroom." "Tell him I love him." I'm like, You sit there washing your hands and you're almost bleeding from like taking all the skin off of your hands. And you're like, "Hey, Jesus loves you." But I'm preaching in the bathroom. Why? Because that's who I am. It's not what I do. And my identity is going to determine what I do. So we walk around and man, if you guys saw me in the street, you'd probably be nuts, you know? But I talk to the animals. I see, you know, the Bible says that donkeys talk, so why can't I talk to them? I walk around and I see a little squirrel. I'm like, "Shh, and And it looks at me and it's like, it's okay. Why? Because that's the relationship I have with my daddy. He knows what I am saying. He knows what I'm talking about. He knows who I am. He made me this way for a specific purpose. You know, He made me this way to unlock some people. And let me tell you something. I learned this. When we get to heaven, we're going to walk in there and beautiful gates are going to open up and we're going to get there and the angels are going to be there. And He's going to walk up. You're going to walk up. Here, let me get somebody. Somebody help me out. Brandon, come here. You're going to walk up, right? You just got to heaven. And the angel is going to walk up to you and he's going to say, and then you're going to look at him and you're going to be like, hey, I'm Brendan. I was at the Bold Venture meeting. And he's going to be like, and you're going to be like, I love Jesus and, no, this is the language of heaven. You know, we gotta go back down. We gotta walk up and the angel is gonna, you gotta walk up again. We gotta walk up and the angel is gonna look at us and say, and you're gonna reply, and he's gonna say, and you're gonna walk in because this is heaven. We are not from this place. We do not live in the natural place. We are not of this world. I don't know if anyone has not told you this, but we are not of this world. And in this world, we live like we're supposed to live in heaven. But anyways, going back to the message. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. Know who you are. You must depend on others. And I can tell you that I am a fruit of allowing myself to depend on someone else, to be able to talk to someone else. 10 years ago, a man walked up into the middle of a church and spoke, called out to the way back right corner to a short, fat kid and said, hey, God has a purpose in your life. And over you, I see a banner that says, Radical Warrior. Get this, 10 years ago. And he said, over you, I see a banner that says Radical Warrior. And this short, chubby kid sitting at the very back used to sit there with his head leaning against the wall like this, waiting for the service to just end, is standing here today, 10 years later, at Bold Venture, with a banner over his head that says Radical Warrior. Because a man decided to invest. Because a man decided to look at him and invest what he knew in him. Because a man decided to be obedient to God and to respond to what the calling that God had put in his life. And 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I don't know when it was, in the first Bold Venture, there were 98 men in North Carolina. And we didn't know what to expect in this Bold Venture. But there I saw men who did not care about their titles, who did not care about how many churches they had opened, who did not care about anything. And they would talk to me face to face. They would look in my eye and they would invest in me. And they would speak life into me. They would speak the identity of heaven into me. And the following year, and they would talk and like, oh, so what do you do? They're like, oh, well, I've opened up over 3,000 churches and I am the bishop over this and that. And they're like, what do you do? I'm like, I play drums. All the drummers out there say amen. And he said, and I'm like, oh, I play drums. And then the next year, God, the Holy Spirit begins to say, hey, you're going to begin a discipleship group. You're going to invest in these men. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. And he's like, you're going to do it. And I began, and he gave me the names, and some of them are here today, and others are in Miami, others are in Dallas. They can't be here because they're doing Bible studies in their college, because they're doing discipleships in their college, and their disciples have disciples now. And this is just going and going, and then I become a youth leader, and then God takes me to the next step and decides to ordain me as a youth pastor, and it just keeps going and going and going. And let me tell you something, I know that I am from here, I am on my way to heaven. Why? Because one man decided to invest in me. Because he looked all the way in the very back, sitting in the last seat of the last row of the church, and he says, over you is a banner that says radical warrior, and you are like David, and you are called to kill giants. And this giant killer, as we just heard, decided to invest in me and make me a giant killer. So let me tell you something. Spend time with God. And as you do, you will figure out your identity. The Bible says that Jesus came down and he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down over him. And God looks at him and he says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. What had Jesus done up to then in his ministry? Nothing. Because it's not about what you do, it's about who you are. And God is telling you today, you are his son. You are a son of the one true king. Know who you are. Amen. God bless you guys.